Blog Talk Radio.
It's the Morning Show.
Okay, you want to rehearse it one time before we go in there?
With award-winning journalist Cheryl Smith.
I'm good. I'm not that good.
Bringing you informative, enlightening, thought-provoking, inspiring, and entertaining talk radio.
Young people, go on and stand up real quick. Come on. Come on. Yeah, we gotta stand. Yo, everybody, come get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Don't be cute with it. You gotta get. Come on. Fifth one. Fourth one. Come on. Sing it.
I never knew I could be so happy. I never knew.
Think I wanna hit the moon.
Good morning. That's Teddy Pendergrass. Hey, we got to wake up. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the World According to Drew. I'm Andrew Williams live from Studio A this morning. And beautiful. Let the rain come down in Dallas, Texas. I tell you, thank you, God. No sprinkler on water bill. Still high as the dickens, but no sprinklers this morning or yesterday. It is the 15th day of August, and Boy, this year is going by so fast. But we got so much to talk about this morning. As always, read your African-American newspapers no matter where you are. We have a conglomerate of news resources led by the great Cheryl Smith. We have Texas Metro News. We have My iMessenger, which is online, folks. No excuse. You can follow us and get the news as it unfolds. I'm telling you, things are getting great over on R.L. Thornton 3 Freeway. We're just so excited to bring a different brand of news, excitement, everything you want to call it, all wrapped up in one. All because of Cheryl Smith, her vision, and we're getting it done this morning. So I'm just so excited to be here with you. Seems like we all survived that Friday 13th. Okay, sometimes just another day in your mind, but deep down in your mind, you do think about, oh, Lord, I hope that cat don't cross me. Do I throw salt over my shoulder? Do I step on a crack? You know, they say step on a crack, break somebody's back. But whatever it is, I tell you, we survive. And here it is, Sunday morning. God is watering his grass this morning. I'm grateful. I am super grateful this morning. So much is going on, so little time to talk about it. We'll talk about some of the things that's going on. We're looking at the COVID numbers going up. Here's no ICU beds for the kids in Dallas County. We'll talk about that. Hopefully, I have my neighborhood nurse that's on, and I want her to come on and just give us that perspective a little bit later. All you got to do is press 1, and we'll get you on. With schools opening, what is going on? You got the Democratic president fighting Republican governors about what to do with this mass mandate. Boy, we got a lot to talk about that. Afghanistan, is it good or bad that we're pulling out? When this was coming out, 45 mentioned it, didn't say much about it. Now, everybody want to twerk. Just want to talk about it. And pulling out of Afghanistan, are we just giving the Taliban the country in a handbasket? Inquiring minds want to know. What, again, the Olympics is over. We're looking at the good, bad, and the ugly associated with this past Olympics. And as always, you know, I'll give you a little tidbit on the HBCUs as we approach the football season. A lot of our kids are getting opportunities because of the debt being lowered. We'll see. It hits closer at home than you can even imagine. I want to bring in the right-hand man, the Prime Minister Oak Cliff. I know he's doing some things this morning. I know we had to stop him getting on the Concorde going over to Paris this morning, but he told him to hold the plane up because he got something to do this morning. Let's bring in Harold Horatio Hubbard. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, man. I'm glad you told him to hold it up. You had something to do this morning.
Yeah, man, Barack had us all going over there to handle a little business, but I decided to put it off for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of Barack, he got a little, they got on him a little bit about the birthday party. He narrowed it down, still was a big crowd. But then again, look who, the people who were supporting no mask and everything, they want to be the ones that want to criticize.
They don't know what they want to do.
Well, you know what? They go as the wind blow. I've never seen a sailboat go without any wind. A straight sailboat. So they need something to make them go. So this is the wind they need. I tell you, this country, power never seems to amaze me. The more we indulge in everyone else's pot, we're not taking care of our own pot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, we talk about the pandemic. The Delta variant is picking up. They said there's even another variant out there. But let's jump on that right quick. And I know we have a nurse, and hopefully she'll press 1 and give us a little bit there was a report today that there are no ICU beds for children. You're covered with COVID. What happens if there's a car wreck on 35 Central Expressway, 635? Let me not leave out I-20. Better yet, 67. I think you got us covered. Got us covered. And God forbid, if something goes south, there's no ICU beds even for trauma right now. Schools reopen. Parents sending their kids to school with no mask. It's all right. But again, I've mentioned time and time again, if the children are our future, why aren't we protecting the children?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a political ping-pong. Go ahead.
Sounds like it makes sense to me is all I'm saying.
If you love your child, you'll send him or her to school with a mask on. But you're trying to play political ping pong with your children. And that lets me know, and this, you know, this is not a reflection of the station. It's me talking now. That you rather play politics over parenting. That one P should never be any larger than the other P. And the P that they're pushing forward should be the smallest P in the house. Parenting. Kids can't decide where they go, where they live. Kids can't decide what they wear, some of them. They have to get the money somewhere. They get it from their parents. And what message are we sending to the kids? Because those kids now, when they become parents later, that next generation of children won't even stand a chance. I'm going to put my political beliefs before your health. I might have to break it down, but I'm going to do it. My parents did it, I'm going to do it. But most of the time, we follow what our parents have done. That's the only model we know. But these are different times. And parents, whether you hate it or not, we need to protect our children. Because when we're gone, who's going to run the world? Who's going to be left in this world? You have situations that are so polarized where every state that has a Democratic governor, the numbers or lower, following the president. Those states with Republican governors, the numbers are high because they're fighting, they're playing politics with their people. I want to say good morning to Travis County Independent School District. I want to say good morning to Dallas Independent School District for stepping up and putting out, trying to protect their children in their districts. Thank you. And I understand with Dallas. See, Dallas is under a lot of pressure, Harold. We have more charter schools per capita than I've ever seen. From life to faith family. That's just on the south side. We're just hurting South Oak Cliff, Madison, Lincoln, Carter, Kimball. Addison seem to be holding their ground. Sunset seem to be holding their ground, but they're losing numbers as well. If not taking care of our own business. But, again, my hat's off. Dr. Hinojosa, thank you. Because that's like going to a fire with gasoline underwear on, Harold, sending your kid with no mask, and kids are touching each other, putting the kids at risk. All of that. Mm-hmm. And they want to Well, we can't get no dollars if we come on. Even in the state of Florida, dissenters. Right there, his office is in Tallahassee, which is Leon County. Down in Florida, Harold, they use the county's control of public school systems. That's why I was so unique, I mean, so intrigued with how Texas, that you can have one city with three or four school districts involved. A certain amount of DeSoto that comes across the line, or Lancaster, Cedar Hill. You know, ain't going to miss that opportunity there. Duncanville. So there's parts of Dallas that the kids go to Duncanville. Part of Dallas, the kids go to Cedar Hill.
Mm-hmm.
In Florida, they have county, the whole county is a district. And it affects many kids. You look at Dade County, which is one of the highly populated areas. That's Miami and surrounding cities. Can you imagine if we all had Garland, McIrvin,
mm-hmm.
Duncanville, all under one roof? Can you imagine the tax base that that district could have? It's already up, but the money is going to your charter schools.
Yep.
You take accountability for everybody they grab. And guess what? If a kid is not compliant with a charter school, guess where they end up going? If they go back to their home school, back to DISD. Mm. The state only give you money one time, and the charter gets that money. And here you funding teaching a kid with no funds behind them. I figured if the kid's in the school X amount of days, you should get your money. We'll loan it to you, but we'll come back and reevaluate. Because those charters are getting over. Private funds support the school. Built the school, state monies operate the school, and these folks make a profit. It's all about profit. Life charter bubbling, making money. And then you have a struggling neighborhood school like South Oak Cliff. Something ain't right. Like I said, what Ricky Ricardo would have said, somebody got some screaming to do. But this thing is not right at all. Take the money, send the kid back. And get you the loser, the kid. The kid is the loser. We got to do better. We must do better. You know, we talk about Democratic presidents, Republican governors. Not only COVID numbers are up, what are we going to do? I just said, six in one hand, half a dozen in the other. Y'all complain about masks, COVID's going up. Are you addressing that? Governor Abbott turns the table and starts talking about the border because he knows they goofed on the children. They know they've goofed. But they're too proud to admit it. Playing politics with the future of this country. It's bad enough with the numbers. Now we're getting more kids that's been affected. Will we get a booster? May go after those who are compromised. But I just wish our little neighborhood nurse get on this morning and tell us a little bit what she thinks. Oh, I'm trying. I'm doing the best I can on my end. But are we doing the best we can collectively for the betterment of our community? You go down Deep Ellum. I put the recycling area in because you go down there with so many people with no mask on. None. Zero.
Mm.
You have what is it, representatives out there burning masks. We don't need them. Why should we use them? They end up dying themselves. It's cold.
Mm.
What is it going to take for us to understand and realize what is going on? It's all about safety. We want safety. We're blaming everything on everybody from a Washington standpoint. I never thought I would say this again, that how important the words that came out of Rodney King's mouth. Can we just get along? Who would have thought his life coming on that his words would still radiate? And we have to support, can we just all get along? But right now, with what's going on over in Afghanistan, what's going on in this country, is only making us very vulnerable for other countries to come in and take over. It's great. It is great. The craziest thing I've ever seen in my lifetime of what's going on now. We got to do something about it. We definitely have to do something about it. Are we willing to step up? I don't know. What's your take on the pod and crime?
Well, you talked about a few things that kind of rubbed me differently. I'm not 100% on board with the charter schools for sure. Charters and private schools, some of them teachers don't even have degrees. I mean, they sure don't have teacher credentials. And they just pop them in a classroom and they become a teacher all of a sudden. But that's just half of the story, man. We have to stay on top of this math situation. These kids going back to school. The Republicans don't care about none of them.
You know why they don't care?
Well,
I got a feeling that if you go to these charter schools, some of these where they're some of these diplomats and representatives send their kids in a private setting, I bet you they wearing pants.
Probably.
You know, deep down in my heart, I am wondering, Harold, I am wondering. This is, again, not a reflection of the views of the whole Texas Metro News Enterprises. Are we trying to control population?
Oh, yeah, man. That's your Gates and all of them, man. I definitely believe that's what they're trying to do.
And it's just scary. And I look at per capita, and we're going to hear from our Louisiana representative, that their state, their numbers are extremely high. Let's get here. Eric, good morning. What's going on, man? Welcome to the World According to
God. God bless you, good brothers. God bless you, good brothers. How y'all doing today?
Well,
good,
man.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, look, we're trying to take that Jeffro Bodine approach. We're trying to decipher what's going on in our country. What's going on in Louisiana?
Yeah, well, New Orleans out. I guess the vax rate is at 70%, and then at outside of New Orleans, know, you have, like you mentioned, a lot of high numbers of people who haven't gotten vaccinated. Now, lately, they have noticed an increase of people getting vaccinated. But these had a lot of, you know, increased cases of COVID that's come up the last couple of weeks. So they're trying to get a hold of that now. The mayor in New Orleans has put a mandate that for all public buildings, you know, people have to wear a mask and whatnot. And so that's come on board this past week. And they had a Saints game last night, matter of fact, in the Super Bowl. So everybody had to, you know, have a mask or show a COVID test within the past 72 hours stating that the person has not contracted COVID. And so all that is going to be started. Also, that's going to be started to be enforced tomorrow, but they did put it in place this past week, but they're going to start enforcing it tomorrow for the city of New Orleans. And I think the governor, I think he's I forgot exactly. He was waiting a little bit longer to see what the numbers look like, but I think he's going to follow suit, if he hasn't already followed suit, for the entire state, go back to the regulations of what they were doing a few months ago. Okay. So that's about some of the gist of it. I'm trying to think, you know, schools have started in a lot of places. This is the last week in which people who haven't started school, they'll be going back this week. And people first started going back to school as early as August the 2nd. And so we have children wearing masks and whatnot.
Yeah, but I just think it's a travesty of what's going on around this country. And they're playing political ping-pong with our children.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mentioned earlier in the podcast that, you know, we think about the greatest gift of all that we heard George Benson sing and Whitney Houston.
Uh-huh.
You know, children are our future.
Right.
And they're playing with them.
Right.
With these kids, they not have an opportunity to become adults. And those adults that are getting it now, burning masks and say they refuse. Well, I'm hoping, even with their loss, that it makes people think differently, especially in their circles, about this thing is real. Some people don't think it's real.
I did have a question for you. You being a respiratory therapist, now, using a mask, I'm definitely a proponent of using a mask, but what about breathing in carbon dioxide when you have a mask on continuously? How can you sort of counteract that of just constantly having the mask? And what are some of the side effects of wearing a mask for a long period of time? And then how do you counteract those side effects for wearing a mask for a long period of time?
Well, the thing is that too much of anything is not good for you. Let me go there. We've always heard that.
Right.
So, but this thing about wearing the mask is when you're among people. Now, if you're going to be among people for long periods of time, then there could be some complications associated with rebreathing your CO2. Now, let me take you.
Yeah. Is there a way to minimize the effects of that? Any deep breathing exercises? Or how do we minimize that?
Well, you know, any opportunity you get to take your mask off in your little private setting will be ideal.
Right. Okay.
That is key. But that's like going into a fire with gasoline underwear on. You out there in the fire, you better not have gas on you. So the thing is with this mask, keep the mask, you know, it's six in one hand, half a dozen in the other. Use the mask when you inhale, of course, you're filtering out the mask anything that could travel airborne.
Right.
All right? And then when you breathe out, you know, of course you got to breathe out to breathe in. There may be some trapped in your mask. Now, let me go way back. Anatomy.
Right.
If I ask everyone right now to hold their breath, and this will be the largest experiment on the radio. I want you to hold your breath. And when you take a breath, let me know. Just say, I did. Those who are in hell and earth. And there's a reason why you breathe.
Right.
Okay? The reason you breathe is the amount of in your system. if you held your breath, your CO2 builds. So mm-hmm. when you get too much, guess what? You breathe. So there's chemoreceptors in your brain. Look, we're gonna break it down. Anatomy 101. Chemoreceptors in your brain, and it's there to detect high levels of CO2. So you will breathe.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you can't hold your breath forever.
Right.
But you're breathing your own breath. Now I do have problems mm-hmm. sometimes with people with the mask just below their nose. You might as well put your entry of for air or oxygen is through your nostrils, and you don't have the mask up that high. So
right.
it's a lot of different things that are going on. I've told people, I've mentioned to them, whether it's professionally or unprofessionally, that my difficulty that I have with my mask should be the opportunity where I can't wear a mask at all.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I can deal with the hindrance, but if you don't deal with the hindrance, there's a chance you won't have to deal with a mask or breathing at all. What is it going to take?
Right. Yeah.
Again,
right.
we need our children to take over this world when we can't do anything else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we're mm-hmm. political basketball match with our children.
Right.
And it's attractive. I don't like your party, so we're going to do everything, everything
mm-hmm.
to make you fail. Now, President Biden is doing some things, you know, some good, some in-between, some questionable things. But whenever you're in the big seat, you're going to take a blame for a lot of things. Understood. When we had 45 in, when he was doing things that we didn't agree with, they pushed the blame and didn't say, they didn't, you know, his fan base didn't want to blame him for anything. But now they blowing their horns, tooting their trumpets, whatever they got to do, beating the drum to get on the current president about things. Now, we're talking about COVID, but let me throw this in. Like the Afghanistan, the previous president was talking about moving out, got out of NATO. And you didn't hear much from the right. Well, let's do it. Let's go about it. And now you try to get some normalcy of joining NATO back. Then we wanted the troops out of Afghanistan. Now we're making a move. Now we're upset. We don't know what we want as a country. We're a bunch of chefs trying to make a pie, and everybody can't put their ingredients in the pie. So we're in a turmoil right now. Pandemic, foreign affairs, the pandemic, the fallout with companies, restaurant bars, gyms, movie theaters, and to protect their industry, they're asking for vaccine records. Now, is there a natural database? That's the next thing. Because people will fake the vaccine records. I'm not going to. Let me make a card up. You can scan something and make it look authentic.
The bootleg card.
Well, we have bootleg DVDs, VHS, and you know what I call them? That's Blackbuster. Not Blockbuster, that was Blackbuster back in the day. But we have to take this thing seriously. As a country, you know, being African-American male, and I tell all my brothers and sisters, you do what's best for you. That I do understand. But think about the pre-existing issues that we have. We may eat better now, but when you were a kid, I'm sure you had some kind of pork on a weekly basis. You might not have had bacon every day. You may not have had sausage. But when your mama cooked the green beans, salt pork, fat fat. Think about it. All those things occurred when we were growing up. And you definitely wouldn't tell your mom not to put the salt pork in there. Ham hocks. Come on, y'all. Don't act like y'all don't know. Y'all eat at Chipotle now. Y'all eat not. But when you cooked at home, you had all that. And I know some people have taken the pork out of the diet, which is good if you have some pre-existing issues going on. But let's not forget from once we come. We understand high blood pressure, the stress of just living, along with some of these additives, taking salt out of your diet. Substitute salt, substitute sugar. Look what we put in our truck. Do we know everything about Splenda? Sweet and low? Equal? Do we know everything about it?
No.
You know, it still don't take a 5-pound bag to sweeten one container of Kool-Aid. You talking about sugar high. But we have to think about those things. We are constantly adjusting our lives. And if you choose not to wear a mask, that's your prerogative. But understand, as Eric mentioned, the first question he asked, what happened? Are we breathing CO2? Yes. But I tell you this, you have enough sense in your head if you're in a safe place to take your mask off and regenerate. But again, our body is such a magnificent vehicle, machine, where you constantly got neurons and electrons moving around. You being able to process what I'm saying, me being able to project what I'm thinking. We are science. But don't put yourself in a position where you're running to a fire with gasoline all over your body. It's not a very good combination. So we got a lot that's on the table for us right now. And you and I, all the adults on the phone right now, our day has been stamped, and all we can do is live our life to the fullest. But I tell you this, if you got kids, prep them. Get them ready to be the next set of adults. You know, and as we got older, if you blessed with your parents, you know what? They were still looking at you as a little child in their mind. Even though we were making decisions that would affect the world. But they gave us guidance. And we can't lose our next generation without providing them with guidance. It's a cycle. And let me throw this in. I don't know if you all have seen, it's on Prime Video, called Them. It may have been out a while, but I watched everything yesterday, Them. I won't spoil it, but you need to look at it. How we got to where we are today. It's somebody else's way of expressing it. Strong subject matter. You might want to look at it before you share it with your young kids. Take your blood pressure medicine. You're going to get high. boy, you gonna get hot. But you know, they're putting it on, so you look at it a little bit. It'll change your thoughts a little bit. For those who are listening, welcome to the world. According to Drew, I'm Andrew Wiggum live from Studio A this morning. We have representation from the Big Easy, as in New Orleans, and then sunny South Dallas, where the sun shines all the time, even in the rainstorm. Hal Horatio Hubbard. Sun is shining now, even through the clouds.
Yeah.
So, folks, we got a lot going on. Eric, how's the crime rate there in New Orleans? You still getting a couple of shootings here and there?
Yeah, it's a little high like some of the other countries, some of the other cities throughout the nation. You know, I guess the boys get restless from time to time. Need some of that pressure create some crime. But I'm not sure what happened over the weekend. Your numbers have been up a little bit. And so hopefully we'll see a decrease. And you know, a lot of other cities, too, are trying to figure out different programs to try to address the crime issue. Because supposedly the people who commit these crimes are just a very small number, but they create a lot of havoc, you know. So I think all of us have to look at programs to try to head off and prevent these types of crimes, whether it's going to be job training or morals and ethic training, conflict resolution training. I think those would be some of the main issues that really need to look at, you know. Road rage,
and you
create problems.
Mm-hmm. When you look at some of the things that we're going through, you know, we talk about the COVID and the fatigue. Some people just tired of just complying, all of that, and you know what, jobs, even though some of our states have opened back up, I got a gut feeling that I hope I'm wrong, that we're going to end up shutting this thing down again. Some of your local hospitals stopped the screening of people coming in their hospitals. Guess what? Last week, they went back to the old, let's get some folks back in here. They may not be screening, but they're getting ready to make a move, some of your larger hospitals in the Dallas County area, where beds are full. And I mentioned, Eric, I don't know if you were on the air then, where our ICUs at our children's hospitals are full. And that means if there is a pediatric car wreck,
right,
or a car wreck,
right,
with pediatric children,
mm-hmm,
there's a chance they can't be seen in their ER because there's no ICU bed.
Right, right. Exactly. Yeah, I understand our hospital beds for children are filled up, you know?
Yes, throughout the country.
Mm-hmm.
And say, well, a doctor is a doctor. Yes, there are doctors that are doctors. They all had to take a rotation through the pediatric area, but it's not their
mm-hmm
expertise.
Right.
So, again, what is it going to take for us to realize, and we're not saying that taking the vaccine is 100% sure to keep it off you, but more have bounced back with it than those who didn't have it. Those are just simple numbers.
Mm-hmm. You know, I had a case.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. And I'm getting in my car, too. I'm about to go do a few things, so I may be in and out. But my mechanic, he was scheduled to have a quadruple bypass surgery this week. So I drove back by by his garage just to see maybe his wife was there and ask her how the surgery went. But when I went back to the car garage, my mechanic shop, he was still there. I said, well, I thought you were supposed to get surgery yesterday. He said, well, they delayed it until the end of August because
they don't have room for surgeries. This is still elective surgery. Bypass heart surgery is still elective surgery, I guess. But they still can't take him on until the end of the month because so many COVID patients are clogging up the hospital system. So I said, wow, that's deep. Heart surgery being held off a few weeks.
Well, but, you know, have we really thought about that? When you have COVID patients in the ICUs taking beds, a triple bypass is something that brother needs in order to prolong his life. And when you have to put those on hold, what else? What else do we need to wake up about it? Those who oppose it and think this is a hoax, I'm sure if they needed triple bypass, they gonna want to get it.
This brother was quadruple. He had four valves they had to work on.
Well, you got four valves, four chambers in your heart.
Yeah.
And he's still working.
Well, he can't do any heavy lifting. You know, he can't be changing out any transmissions or motors or engines like that, you know. So he can't lift anything above 5 pounds. So I guess light mechanic work he can do. Yeah, like you say, he's still working, but I guess he's just doing the best he can.
And worrying about if he owns the shop, worrying about the flow of money through the shop, or whether or not his work is based on how many cars he touched or not. I don't know if he owns the shop.
Yeah, he owns it, but they say he may not be able to return to work anymore after the surgery.
Well, there you go.
I guess it's pretty serious. Mm-hmm.
And then worried about your shot. Are you still using the same stuff?
Yeah.
Will your family be able to survive with you not being in the shop?
Right.
You know,
those are
things that... You know, we always say pressure busts a pipe. Those are things that he's going to be thinking about the whole time.
Yeah, yeah.
Even through recovery.
And I really,
Go ahead.
And I really admired the brother because my car was on death's doorstep. And, you know, the car dealership said, well, man, you're going to get a new valve gasket, and then you might as well just get a whole new engine. And I said, man, this is terrible, you know. But I took it to him, and, you know, he kept working with it, doing this, doing that, doing this, doing that. And 2 summers since when the car was supposed to be towed on in for the death sentence, my car is still running strong. I got 228,000 miles on it right now, you know. It's doing its thing. So it wasn't for that mechanic, you know, I've been paying a car note right now, but all that's behind me now, you know. So I really admired and developed some strong feelings for the brother, you know. So these are the kind of people we may be losing people like this, the way things are going.
Oh, absolutely. We're losing a lot of people, you know, that are having an impact on what is going on in this world.
But
we have to work smarter, not harder. And folks, I'm telling you.
You know, the money that I save on a car, the money I save on a car note, I can make donations to a social services organization. You know, people who could benefit from that money. Instead of me paying on a car note, I can give it to the community now. You know, but people like him help make that happen.
Well, it takes that village. It takes that village to make things happen. And it's heartfelt. When people can't get their surgery. Now, I think a quadruple bypass should be high on the list. The thing with COVID, you see anesthesiologists, you see these plastic devices that separate people, right? With broadcast. But now, when they intubate, and intubation is basically putting the breathing tube in their lungs. They've come up with a shield where they're working in a box trying to prevent the spread of COVID.
Right.
They're rapid testing everybody And that's another thing, too. Some of these folks that have COVID that go to surgery, mm-hmm. they postpone for their surgery.
Yeah.
Because of COVID.
Yeah. Right.
So COVID is affecting everybody. Everybody. Even if you have not contracted
right.
it, it's affecting you in some kind of way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we got to
yeah,
take it seriously.
This is a whole trip, man. I don't think any of us expect this kind of situation, whatever it is. You know, it's just bizarre.
Oh, very bizarre. But think about it. But think about TB. Think about polio. And most of the folks that are listening,
mm-hmm.
remember we had the polio drain. Stick it
mm-hmm.
under your tongue.
Right.
Now, I'm going to protect the people
right.
I work with every day. Every day I'm going to protect
right.
them.
Right.
But some days, I look, and I have this, I had to keep this stone face because I knew I could wear it on my face. What are you thinking about?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you've been in the military. Please tell me, how many shots you refused? Do we still have hell?
No, we didn't refuse none. I thought you knew the answer to that one.
Yeah, but I wanted our listeners to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
When they told you to get in line, what did you do?
Got in line.
You roll your sleeves up? But I think by the time you was in the service, they wasn't dropping the shorts.
A little bit of both, a little bit of both.
But you had to do what you were told to do. And you run into a lot of people who were in those situations are fighting the idea of doing shots. It is well within your right, but I just think as a parent, or young children, let's do best for the kids. And let me tell you what I have reservations, and I might need some people to help me. I cannot think of the name of it. But when the kids that are 20 now, when they were young, 12, 11, I know the young ladies had to take a shot. I can't think of it, but it's supposed to reduce pelvic issues or problems.
Yeah.
And then I think that even the little boys had to take the shot. But did we hear this outcry about those shots being done versus the COVID shots being done now? We're playing
mm-hmm.
political with this country, the lives of people in this country. The Democrats, we'll go at that level. They serve hard. The Republicans got to spike it back. Then you spike again. Then you change go to the other side of the table. And we just go on volley and back and forth.
Mm.
And the losers are the people that's playing the game. It's the while they playing the game, it's killing the people who are affected by their plan. And that's sad.
Mm.
I mentioned earlier, playing with the kids. Why you protect the kids? The kids have no say, they have no reasoning with COVID other than what they hear. But if you love your child, I would think you would do what's best for them. If you don't want them to take a shot, fit them with the mask. I feel bad for the little ones, kinder, pre-K, first, maybe third through third grade. It's touchy-feely. Runny nose. Can't stay in line. You know how you all were? taking their mask down, and you want to send them to school with no mask. There's a learned behavior that can be associated with school. Can you remember teachers could do things your parents couldn't do? Get you to walk on water if they wanted you to. Parents know their kids are out of control, but when they go to school, they go meet the people in my life like Miss Wright, Miss King, that had control of the classrooms. And now we just put them in harm's way. And then Dallas Regional Hospital, I just got a note. The finest hospital in Farmers Branch, I think the only one. They just closed at 100% occupancy. They closed in their emergency room.
So, Harold,
Eric, can you imagine charity closing their doors?
Yeah.
So can you imagine not taking in more people? It's hard down in Houston. You cannot just imagine that. No place to go. Ambulances running out of gas, trying to find a hospital open. So this is a hospital in Dallas with a pretty sizable community. Closed. 100% capacity. ER full. I don't have nothing else to say. If we don't get that, we'll never get it. Ever.
Some people don't get it till they get it.
Well, you can't go to the hospital. That's like going to urgent care. Going to urgent care, they can't see you. So at least you got an opportunity to go to another one. Well, we pull. But you think you're trying to go to the hospital. We pull. Keep going. Hurricanes in the parking lot. I'm sorry, up to 100%. Please find your next hospital. Can you imagine gunshot victims? Oh, y'all can't come here. Keep going, Hamlet. You know, I mentioned it like that just to give you something to think about right now. This thing is blowing out of proportion. We have governors that's playing political ping pong with our lives. You know, you talk about the red, white, and blue, the stars and stripes. Well, where are our mindsets collectively to take care of this group of people that we represent? Where are we with that? Craziness. Well, 3 minutes after an hour, I want to hear from you folks as well. We have our representative. I love to say our representative in New Orleans. And we have our representative out of Oak Cliff, Texas. That's my hood, Oak Cliff. We want to hear what you all have to say. This is a platform where you may not get the opportunity to speak anywhere else, but we want to hear from you. You know, we've been talking about this forever. Schools are opening. If you have something that you want to ask, please feel free. I always say, if I don't know the answer, you know, I'm man enough to tell you I can't speak on that one.
Hey, but speaking of opening schools, I do have a young lady on this morning. She's just listening. She's been claiming she's not prepared to come on, but I told her she's always prepared. She's a professional public speaker. So she's always prepared. But I'm going to see if we can get her to have the courage to come on and let us know what's going on with the, I think it's the Tribes of Judah. It's going to be the name of her school. And I'm going to see if we can get her to have a little courage to step up and talk to us soon, if not today.
Well,
I think she was waiting to get a return email from you there, Mr. Andrew.
Okay. And just let me know when
was
this.
That's the excuse she got. That's the excuse she using anyway, so you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know how we do.
Look, you know, y'all, we look at it's one of my nurses that's on the line was saying it was the HPV shot. At one time, for those who are in their 20s, I think they had to get it. It may be optional now, but the kids had to get it at one particular time, or they strongly suggested. How about that? They may not say it was mandatory, but they strongly suggested that you needed the HPV. At the time, Governor Rick Perry wanted to make it mandatory, but got much resistance. Well, thank you so much. Well, I tell you, we got experts all over hell that listen in, and I appreciate you all providing us with that information.
Mm-hmm.
So, wow, everybody's getting the nerves. We can always come back to things, but I want to get. We got a couple of military minds on the phone. What do y'all think about the Afghanistan removal of troops out of Afghanistan?
Oh, man, they already saying that the Taliban is going to take over Kabul and Afghanistan. And once they started in there, man, that's like one of them things. Once you stir it up, you got to keep your spoon in it, you know?
Right. Well, you know, we didn't hear much when the last president was talking about pulling out. We noticed that they pulled out of NATO, the people who needed each other to fight the other world powers was diminishing. So when this president, President Biden, comes in, he wants to rejoin NATO so they can join forces to prevent a lot of the world takeover.
Mm-hmm.
But this Afghanistan, we've been in Afghanistan longer than we've been on any war or confrontation in the history of this country. Longer than World War One and Two, and so on and so forth. And now they're getting opposition. We didn't pull out. Well, this president has been in for 8 months. As a matter of fact, 8 months. And you were blowing a different tune 9 months ago, 10 months, a year, blowing a different tune. Mm-hmm. We don't know which way or which fence we want to stand on. We straddle the fence every time.
Yeah.
Instead of looking out for the Democrats and looking out for the Republicans, we should be looking out for everybody in this country. They're playing political ping pong, whether it's in the House, the Senate. What's best for the American people? We deserve better than what we've received from our men and women in Congress. Collectively. I'm not saying everybody is not doing what they're supposed to be doing, but collectively, we've been kind of back and forth. Because these are some hard times. No one between 65 to young have gone through this. A lot of people a little bit before that had the Vietnam War. Ones that are older had World War II. Very few of them still alive. Korean War. Very few still alive, but Vietnam is the era that a lot of our men and women are still around from that era. We must preserve what is ours. We must preserve the land of milk and honey. It's not so much milk and honey, but there are some nice things that we can and cannot do that other people wish they could do. So we have to get serious about this thing. And y'all know I love Prince. This thing called life. Taking the elevator up. Oh, I'm sorry, I got carried away. Let me stop back there. But we need to try to make things better for our men and women of our country at any cost. But when we're fighting among ourselves, it's showing a level of vulnerability that other countries can come in and take over. Let's have a united front, like I named United States. Let's agree that we will disagree. But when it's all said and done, let's do what's best for the citizens of this country. And we have a lot on the table right now. A lot. And we just need people to show up and show out for it. Now, those who are online, we appreciate it. We need you to just press one. Anything you want to talk about, this is your platform. Make sure you tell your friends that we do this every Sunday morning, 8 to 10 Central Time, 9 to 11 on the East Coast, at 646-200-0459. Let's light them up. All right, we have a caller from 214. Good morning. Welcome to the World According to Drew. What's going on in your world?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey. My name is Nakia. Pleasant Grove is where I'm from. And so I decided to give back to my community the gift that keeps on giving. And one of the ways to promote change is by starting with the youth. So I'm launching Lion of Judah Montessori Preschool.
I was just saying, I was about to straighten that up. I had said Tribes of Judah. I was close, but no cigar.
Well, it is a
but
tribe.
That's right. Well, this is a perfect time for you to tell us about the youth, because we have school getting ready to start back. We'd like to get your take on that after you tell us a little bit about what you're bringing to the Pleasant Grove community.
Okay. So I used to be a public school teacher. I taught public school for 13 years. And exactly what you've been talking about today, as far as the political ping pong, I got tired of being the ball in that. And so I walked away, and I decided to start my own thing. Because I firmly believe if you work for somebody, you do need to believe in whatever it is that they believe. And at the point that you can't believe in the one that signs a check, then you need to create your own. And so that's what I'm doing here with Lion of Judah Montessori Preschool. In a time of a world pandemic, yes, but I have plans for all of those things. We will be safe. So Lionel Judah, we will have interns and that are there specifically to keep cleaning the materials and watching the babies, and we won't have noses running unattended and things like that, because the noses will run. That's just a natural thing that's going to happen. And kids are going to put things in their mouth. That's going to happen. But what you can do is monitor and keep it clean. And the teacher, unfortunately, cannot do all of that at the same time and teach. So I have some protective measures in place. But the first thing first, I have to get renovations done in my building in order to even get licensed to open. Now, with my credentials and all those things, I qualify, but my building needs to qualify. So,
right.
Another thing, Lion of Judah is the first Black-owned Montessori in the Pleasant Grove area. Montessori schools are usually in affluent neighborhoods, and Pleasant Grove is not considered affluent.
No.
Let me ask you this.
No, don't tell us that Pleasant Grove isn't considered affluent.
Oh, it will be. Not yet.
It will be, right. But you know what? It takes people like you to try to do something about it. Because I look at some of these charter schools, and I look at some of this homeschooling a lot of people are doing. You know, if that's the way you want to teach, and let me just say about home, it's some pros and cons. I've seen some kids that are just excellent scholars in homeschooling. But then again, some of them don't have the social skills because they have not dealt with a lot of people, dealing with various facets of what school can bring to you, dealing with the numbers and interaction and everything. But I like what you said initially. There's some things that you, and I love you use the analogy I had put out. You're the ping pong ball, and you're getting caught up in this game that they're doing. And the game should be about making it better for our children. And I applaud you for taking this step. And we're going to talk more so that we can just kind of follow up and maybe get you some donors out there. Because we need schools, and I think starting the earlier the better, because that way anything that we say and do right now is based on the principle of nine, from zero to nine. Okay, you know what to do with it a little bit more. And then last I checked, the alphabet still has, 26 letters in it?
Yes.
So that hasn't changed, and that's our foundation. We just learned to put different combinations together with the alphabet. But that early childhood, that is so crucial. And then I think we can curb a lot of the adult behavior, if it's a sound foundation, especially in the future. Because we all got along. We hug, we kiss, you know what I'm saying? But now hugging and kissing ain't the issue. I mean, it's an issue that we're trying to avoid. But what are we going to do, or what strategies are we going to take to curb what's going on? But we still should be about putting something between their ears so that they can move forward. Because when we get old and can't do anything, or can't do much for ourselves, the kids that you will be working with will be the ones that's going to be taking care of us and hopefully come up with some strategies to keep us going a little bit longer. So, let me ask you, again, you said a little bit, but I want you to touch on the fact that wanting to make a difference in your career. You don't have to necessarily tell your ISD that or a system that you worked in. What led you to wanting to do this? What could you see from your eyes as an educator that made you want to go this route?
Oh, my goodness. Well, in education, what I've seen are some really, really phenomenal educators. And then every now and then you'll have somebody who's just there because they need a job. I've seen people that truly love the kids with all of their heart, and then I've seen people that are just hateful. And so I remember when I taught kindergarten thinking, man, I just pray that I put enough love and courage into these children that even when they encounter somebody that speaks down on them, they still have so much in them that is still there by the time they graduate high school. And so me being in a school, I've always been a game changer, every school I've been at. And so I figure, why should I keep changing the game, other people's businesses? Why not do it myself, and then I can really control who's in there? I can make sure that everybody's in there, that's in my school, is there from their heart. Because I don't tolerate. For me, customer service is everything. And so I have actually heard teachers say, I don't like parents. I don't like to deal with parents. Well, sweetheart, that's part of it. You have to love everybody. And when you teach the child, part of it will be educating the parents or at least communicating. People need to know that their child is in the classroom with somebody that cares about the whole child. And you can't possibly care about the whole child if you can't deliver customer service. So for me, it was just the things that I saw, that I experienced dealing with colleagues. It was the things that I experienced dealing with parents, things that I experienced dealing with administration. Some of it I agreed with, some of it I didn't. But I'm not a person that walks around murmuring and complaining. I'm just, in my mind, figuring out a solution.
Okay. That's a good answer. Great answer. And, you know, you talk about, you touched on something when you have people that are working, and that's anything. Is it a job or is it a career as far as in your mindset? And the difference I'm trying to make here, when you don't have nothing else, you've got a job, trying to make ends meet. And sometimes people don't put their heart into jobs. But if it's a career, like you said with teachers, I can tell you the teachers that care, teachers that call your house when you was acting up. And I actually had a feeling that I know if I got in trouble at school, I know what was going to happen at home. I had both sets of grandparents that would get me. I had a neighbor that was going to get me, not alone your parents. And that building, we've lost that somewhat.
Yes.
But again, you can tell the difference with a teacher. And my kids now, post-college and college, I can think of all the teachers that made sure they called us to make sure that we stayed in line with these kids. And that's what we need. We need not only for you to have that job, but be able to care about these kids, making sure that they're exposed to things. And I know it's so much pressure in the district that you got to work by the letter, A, B, C, D. But can we have an AA or a BB kind of experience for these kids? Whatever it takes, because everyone has different learning styles. And we need to find out. And that's why I think early childhood is so important that we establish this with our kids and set the foundation. I know I sound like a broken record, but again, last I checked, it was 0 to 9. Do we have any other digits that we deal with? No. Do we deal with any more than the 26 alphabets, A to Z? No. So it's important that we embed that. I think about when I learned ABCs. Oh, I was singing up a storm. I was singing up a storm. It was exciting. And when you set goals for the kids, especially early, and then you reward them. I mean, unfortunately, the kids, you know, they may get rewards and think they should get rewarded on every account. You know, that's where we may have gone wrong. But at an early age, let them know if they learn, then good things can happen for them. If you set that or plant that seed in their head, sound like you're headed that way, we'll be better off. Because everybody asks me, wait, why do you always speak at school? And I'm just going to cut it to you nice and easy. Because if these young folks get jobs in the future, when we can't work anymore, guess what? They're working towards our Social Security. We're getting something out of it. As long as they're out there working, we have something to pull back from. So my hat's off with you. I apologize if I didn't get your email, but we're going to follow up on this. Definitely follow up on it.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Oh, no problem.
Well, why don't
you know what?
Why don't
your field secretary, you need to
him by that one. Oh, man. I'm on my job. Why don't you give us some contact information, some GoFundMe information, something like that, if you don't mind.
If you would like to give or like to learn more, you can go to lowjumps.com. Low Jumps stands for Lion of Judah, so LOJUMPS.com. Go to my website.
Low Jumps. Spell that again.
LOJUMPS.
Okay.
.com. And if you scroll down, you'll see my GoFundMe. You can click on that button. And when you get to my GoFundMe page, you can read more about who I am and what I'm doing. If you don't want to give on GoFundMe, but you would still like to give, you can give on Venmo at Low Jumps is my handle.
And
go ahead.
Yeah, I'm trying to run the order right. One more time for me.
LOJUMPS. So L for lion, O for of, J for Judah. Well, JU for Judah, M for Montessori, and PS for preschool.
There you go. That was brilliant to come up with that.
Great acronym. Great acronym.
Yeah.
And you see,
but like I was saying, I'm going to get up with our boss lady.
I didn't hear you.
Go ahead, Hal.
Oh, I was saying we're going to have to get you set up with our boss lady. We have several different mediums of journalism here, and see if we can't get her to do some type of a story on you. Young lady who's opening up a school in the same neighborhood that she grew up and went to school in alone should be enough to spark some interest in people wanting to help. And, you know, I like the fact that she's also open to people volunteering their time. If you don't, you know, have the monetary, you know, you can volunteer your time, your talents, and your service.
Absolutely. Lion of Judah is a nonprofit organization. So what I want to do is provide scholarships to the middle class.
Okay.
There's child care assistance available to those that the government says cannot afford child care. But what about people like me? You know, I had a baby and I couldn't afford child care, but the government said I could. So I would like to provide scholarships for them, because when I wanted to find a good school for my baby to attend, I called and I asked, well, do you have scholarships available? And the answer is no. So that left me in a position to not be able to afford child care. I called Montessori schools. That is the best education for children. And so I'll be providing it, and it will be affordable. Unfortunately, I can't make it free, just because the human nature, we seem to not appreciate free things. But I will make it very affordable.
There you go.
That's good to know. Very good. Well, we thank you.
We don't appreciate things just freely given, so.
Yeah, you said mouthful in. You know, the educational vehicle is so vital in the society, and you're trying to get in. You know, again, you said you work for other districts, and, you know, you had to work, but sometimes we don't agree with some of the things that we are dealing with at our jobs, and you just have to do what's best for you. But you're in a position where you can make a difference, and we appreciate everything you're doing, everything you will continue to do for the betterment of our children, because if we don't take care of them, they can't take care of us.
That's right.
Feel free to come on anytime and talk about that. We make sure, like I say, I'm going to reach back to you and see if we can put a little pen to paper so that we can just make the community aware of what's going on over there in PG. And that's not Princess George County. That's
Thank you very much.
So, Mr. Harold, we thank you for that, and we're definitely going to be in contact. Are you still on, ma'am? You still on, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Let me ask you, okay, former school teacher, are still teaching, what's your perspective from your vantage point about the mass of our kids throughout the country?
Okay, say that again. I was transitioning. You said you're asking me my view.
Yeah, what is your stance as an educator with these masks they're requiring kids to wear now in some instances, but for the parents who don't want to send their kids to school with masks? What is your take on all of that?
I think it is ridiculous to not expect to wear masks or to not want to wear masks. I'm really confused as to how politics and health coincide. It just doesn't make sense. I asked somebody once, why don't you have your mask on? And he said the science just doesn't add up.
Uh-huh.
And that's
and
not
what
true.
What was the age of that person that said the science didn't add up?
He was an adult. And I don't know how old he was, but he was an adult. And he said the science didn't add up. Now, in my classroom, last year, they had to wear masks. I taught fourth and fifth grade last year. But I did have a student who was very open that he's a Republican and his parents are too. And he would always try to take that mask off. Later on, the parents did end up having COVID. His mom taught at that school too. They ended up having COVID and had to quarantine. But I don't know. His logic was the herd immunity thing.
Uh-huh.
So let's just all, you know, but it's the selfish. The bottom line, the one word that sums it all up for me is selfishness.
Okay.
And
let me ask you. And I want to look at the age group, that particular, just be very broad. That's within a five-year span. Was he from 10 to 15, or was he from 7 to 12? What was the age of the child?
10.
I'm sorry. You said 10?
10. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And he was worried about the scientific data.
He was just straight Republican, and he said he's not worried and not concerned about COVID.
Okay. At 10,
like anything Trump said, what he said.
Well, he was following his parents. And the point I was trying to raise is the impression or of things that we get from home. Because at 10, you're not thinking about herd immunity. You probably don't even know what herd immunity is. You probably don't even know what the analytics according to scientific data. At 10? So he is just echoing what he's hearing at home, which is pretty much the point I want to raise. And be careful what you do. Be careful what you say, folks, those who are listening at home, because you never know who's listening. And the people that are closest to you will pick it up and just do it because you do it. Now, if someone say they want to build the Taj Mahal in the middle of Trinity River, and they've been hearing their family been talking about the Trinity River, Okay. Have you looked at the Trinity River? Have you thought about putting a building where it floods? It's a lot of things that are associated with that. And that's the point I'm trying to raise, is that these kids are picking it up from home. And they are echoing.
Well, I can just tell you, the teachers are terrified. The teachers are terrified. I'm not only Launching Lion of Judah, but I'm also that voice that doesn't have to be afraid anymore. And I'm going to speak for the teachers. They are afraid. There are so many of them that are terrified for the safety of their families. They're terrified, but they feel like they have no other option.
Well, I think what we all need to do is just utilize common sense. You know, some people are going to think differently. I think right now we're in such a political battle. I won't use ping pong again, but ping pong is what they're doing. And just because all that's left, let's just look at what's best for your child. And unfortunately, it's going to take the loss of a child for some of these parents to get it. And who do you blame? You got to blame yourself if you did not instill in that child about safety. You want to tell your child you could sit in the middle of a busy highway in a chair. As long as you sit there, there's no chance of you being hit by a moving car. But you know a child will get up. Why don't you say, okay, if you want to put it out there, let's put it in the emergency lane. Better yet, let's not be in the street. Let's be in the yard. Let's be in, see, but they're looking at the analytics, the scientific data. I can tell you what the data is going to be if you're sitting in the middle of I-35 in a chair. It's going to be some math going on.
Well, let's talk about the data.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that for a minute. So I won't mention the school or the district, but I will say that there was data that would go out every day to inform parents of what school had positive cases, how many, and all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those numbers were nowhere near accurate because I paid attention to what was happening in my classroom or what was happening on my hallway. So initially it was kind of like, based on what was going on, they were half of what they should have read. And then as time progressed, I remember looking and knowing that it was probably just one bit of what it should have read. So we can't even trust the numbers because whoever's doing the numbers are doing them for a certain audience, for a certain purpose.
Correct.
So they're not accurate.
And then we're not reading the whole story. Let me remind you guys, I may have mentioned it before, and as a young guy, thought I could solve every world problem in that's out there. I had a class at FAMU called Marriage and the Family. It was one of the site classes that you had to take, one of the electives you had to take. And we went through it, and I had to present. Probably the most embarrassing moment of my life, but the best lesson taught to me, and especially with people the way they're doing now. I read the whole, pretty much 90% of my assignment. Read 90%. I did not say 100%. Well, the argument was whether or not the house was a haven. And the argument was against it, but in that very last paragraph, they said the house was a haven. Now, I'm defending what they had from start to last paragraph. I mean, paragraph before the last. And see, my point is, we don't get all the information. And Harold was going to go school, Sunday school on you. Proverbs 3 tells you don't lean on your own understanding. If you're going to say analytics, if you're going to say the data, then get it all. Don't get what you want out of it. Get what's needed in order to make the call for yourself. And I learned that at an early age. Make sure I finish reading the whole thing. And the teacher was very nice to me, but she pulled me to the side and said, did you read? I said, yes, ma'am. Did you read? Yes, ma'am. I need you to read that last paragraph. that not the same. But I bet you after that day, I was an astute student at that point because I read it, I started reading it all. And we'll take a shortcut to an answer any day. And life is too short to have shortcuts in it. This analytics, there are numbers out there. And like you said, sometimes they can screw with the numbers. But when you shut down a whole hospital in a region, what numbers do you need? If they only take 5 people, well, they got the 5 in. If they take 205, they got 205 people, 100%. So we have to understand what's going on. And right here in Dallas, there's no exception. We have to be extremely careful when we do that. Like I said, I went down Deep Ellum the other day, just riding through. You wouldn't believe. I actually saw more masks in my truck than I did on people's face riding through Deep Ellum. We don't get it. And it has to strike us down in order for us to understand what the heck is going on. That's great. We should not be to that point. So, again, thank you. I think we lost the Harold. Are you still with me, Harold?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I think we lost it. But we will be in touch with her. Yeah, I see you. I see you. We're going to have to be in touch with her a little bit more. But, folks, as we...
Okay, we'll definitely do that.
Yeah, we're 42 minutes after the hour. We've talked about a lot of things. Let me just recap. There's a couple other things I want to go through. We talked about COVID numbers out there increasing. She made a valid point. A 10-year-old talking about the analytics of COVID. Talking about herd immunity. I'm getting so mad right now. A 10-year-old picking up what his parents are talking about, immunity, herd immunity. Picking that up. 10. He may have his Chase charge card or credit card with a debit card, whatever. But he's not trying to count to make sure he's charging the right amount or buying or purchasing. If he is, y'all let me know. I don't think he is at all. But at the age of 10, let's be real. He is only reflecting what he's hearing somewhere. In this case, in his own home. And you see that. You see that around this country. It's gotten so political where we're forgetting the greatest commodity that America has is its people. And we're losing people. What is it going to take to understand if you stick your hand in fire that you're going to be burned? If you don't think so, put your hand in some fire. Now, don't blame me. You got to use some common sense on that. But our kids, we impress them as parents, adults. Make sure, have your thoughts, but look out for your kids. There's no way, shape, or form able to take care of themselves that set up 10 years up. They can't. Everything they do or think about, you have to have your finger on. And it's getting to crucial time in our society now. If you choose not, that's your choice. That I do understand. But if you love your child, love your niece, love your nephew, whatever the case may be, look out for them. You know, we can come up with 1,000 reasons not to take a shot. That's fine. That's your choice. But wear your mask. It is something out there. Something that we all need to consider. All right. I'm let me get off that soapbox right quick. Governor Cuomo stepping down. In not Albany, those who are close to Georgia, Albany, it's Albany, New York. What do you think? Did he go too far? Did he think he was doing regular stuff? I know it was a time that those things could fly. But during these days, you have to be very careful. And even
yeah.
what you say, I look, you can't even have eye contact these days.
Well, when his, when his closest cabinet members started resigning, I pretty much knew that was it. He done already told them, y'all go ahead and take y'all parachute and jump now. You know, closest allies start bailing. It's usually because you've given them the bail sign.
Right.
You know, you've given them the heads up that, okay, y'all, this thing about to blow.
Mm-hmm. And you know, he, right is right, wrong is wrong. I personally think it was getting the distraction off himself and what was going on. Like, he had to deal with that. But you see a lot of pictures where he hugged, he kissed men, women, babies, everybody. But I still think they're playing political ping pong on this gesture. Let's not forget when 45, before he got in, when they showed that clip of them on the bus and what the explicit that he expressed.
Yeah.
And I think, was that a Bush, with Bush, one of the Bush boys, about him grabbing body parts? All right. It wasn't dubbed or anything. You heard it. Oh, that's just him being him. But now the witch hunt is on. He's fighting to get back in the house. So, It never surprises me of what can be done or what they try to do. And his political, you know, he was a front runner after how he handled the first wave of COVID in New York. So they've gotten
yeah.
that one out. So, I mean, it's strategic. They seized the opportunity. And they ran with
it. Yeah.
And all he could do was
he
back
to open the door.
So there may be some things in the court that may transpire now dealing with that.
Yeah.
His brother has been off the air because his brother, of course, is Chris Cuomo. That's on CNN. He defends his brother, but they thought he would not be as objective representative of the media as it relates to his brother. He may not have wanted to put that in his broadcast. So they let him take
right.
his leave of absence.
Yeah.
Smart move for all parties. Because over on the other networks, when they've had personal relationships with the previous president, then they speak out. Instead of being objective, they're very subjective in what they talk about on some of the news outlets. But even though the young man probably wanted to say something about his brother, I think it was a good move, whoever idea it was. Go ahead and give him a little vacation till this kind of blows over. Because he's going to have to report it. And that's hard to cut your family down on a national broadcast. So they may let him do a little sideline reporting for a little bit, and, you know, till things kind of calm
mm-hmm.
down, which I don't think it's going to calm down for a while here.
Right.
But the of ladies that have come forward, you know, I'm just hoping that they have come forward this. And let me, hell, I'm going to step very lightly on this. Wrong is wrong.
Yeah.
Timing is something that I'm always in question with timing. Especially in this instance. You know, and sometimes you could be afraid. I get that. I do. And I don't want our ladies on the program to misunderstand where I'm going with this. But when he's gaining momentum, they shoot to death. The same can be said in a lot of cases. There have been reverse cases where very few women have, you know, put some guys in compromising positions professionally. And it happens. It happens. Harold, being a military man, you know, was some uncompromising position for all parties in the military at some point. But you had to make a decision of what's right versus what's wrong. But the thing is, I just hope that the truth comes out in that situation. Is it a political fortress that they're looking for? I think it is. That's just my opinion. But look how many people you hurt along the way. And most people don't even care about who they hurt, as long as they get the big prize. And the big prize is them. It's going to be interesting how it unfolds. But I pray that everyone, from victims of this, is that they're able to recover, be able to live productive lives. I will say that. But it's just ironic of timing. That's the only thing I question, timing. But we're going to see. New York has a new governor. I think her name is Hochbold. She's trying to distance herself. She ran with him, and now she's the first female governor of the state of New York. She's going to have some challenges. She's going to have some challenges because she's going to try to run for governor. And then that's just open up a can of worms for the other party. So may the best person win that particular thing in New York, up in Albany. Okay, that's the only difference. Instead of Albany, Albany, New York. Now, the Olympics are over. Hallelujah, we won. You know, we had some ups and downs in Queens. You know, I mentioned about Naomi.
We got a
Miss Richardson from Dallas.
We got to start the campaign, man.
Say it again?
We got to start the campaign. Make sure we get our girl in on the next one.
Yeah, well,
our little track star.
If you know the rules, you know most people enforce more rules with us than anybody.
Right.
We know we is not going to enhance no performance. If anything, it might make it a little slower out of the block. Again, all this was done after. And if she know that they're going to test, and I'm not excusing what her reasoning may have been, but I can hear my grandmama saying that, boy, you knew better.
Yeah.
And that's what she had to do. Now, we know they caught the other boy with a bone and all that, but we can't bring him in there. When they test you, you're the only one putting the sample in the cup. And I know her heart was heavy. I know her heart was heavy when they won. I think they won the 4x1.
Yeah.
And she could have been the shining star with that group.
Yeah.
but we have to make sure that I
say
it again.
I said, you hear what I said? Two bones don't make a right.
Correct. And then again, you know, in the previous shows, I talked about the sisters that were impacted by the last Olympics, Osaka, Richardson, and Bao. You know, you have to respect for whatever reasons they did what they did. That's their control. We can want this for them, but they got to want it for themselves as well. We just hope that they all heal. If it's a mental health issue, heal where you can go out there and Wimbledon, whatever it is, or we can win the next Olympics. The good thing about the Olympics, it'll be in 3 years now instead of four. And then not only the Olympics, and then you can go out and get another medal in gymnastics. Whatever the case may be. But
right.
Again, this, we just pray for healing with those young ladies. And not just those young ladies, anybody dealing with mental health issues. So it's going to be interesting
so
how this falls out. But Harold, thank you so much for doing what you do, helping me out on Sunday. We're going to get the young lady back on.
No problem,
so
man.
For everyone else, thank you for being a part of the World Quarterly Group. We do this every Sunday morning. I tell your friends, 646-200-0459. We want you to be a part of this show. On behalf of Cheryl Smith and everyone associated, Harold Hubbard as well, I'm Andrew Wiggins signing out, and you know what we do. SWAC, we on the road. We're on a roll, Swag.